All right. Welcome, everybody, to another Microsoft State and Local Government webcast. This is Single Sign-On with Microsoft Azure, presented by Julian So and Mark Gazai. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Julian and Mark to introduce themselves and start with the webcast.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us on this webcast. My name is Julian So. I'm the cloud architect for state and local governments covering the West Coast. Mark and Mike are my counterpart, and I'm glad to see a lot of you guys are on the phone today or the webcast today. I work with most of you guys in the West, so hopefully this is information that's relevant to you. And I'll turn it over to Mark to kind of introduce himself. Mark, go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Gazai. I'm a data center specialist, part of the same team, working out of West Coast and covering California, working with Julian and Mike on data center and Azure.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And both Mark and I, like I said, we work primarily with state and local governments. And as Mike has pointed out, we're going to talk a little bit about identity today. And because of the time limitations, we may not be able to dive down as deeply as possible, but hopefully this will be a good preview of some of the things that we can kind of come out and talk to your group about and may dive down deeper on specific subject matter relating to identity. So some of the things that we'll be covering together today would be around identity, specifically Azure Active Directory, some of the capabilities in Azure Active Directory, and also the on-premises components that you guys are familiar with. So things like Active Directory, how that kind of interplays with Azure Active Directory, what our roadmap is moving forward, some of the capabilities that are built into Azure Active Directory, like you see on this list here, multi-factor authentication, user self-service. These are all the capabilities that we're kind of talk about today. Now, before we dive into some of these capabilities, because Azure Active Directory is fairly new, at least from a presence perspective, it has been around for quite a while since the days of Office 365, pre-Office 365, I would say. So since the days of BPOS, we needed a identity management solution in the cloud. So in most of you guys on the call here today have been exploring Office 365. And so some of the concepts that you have been hearing are things around directory synchronization using the DirSync tool or the MIM or FIM tool as we refer to them interchangeably. As well as Active Directory Federation services with Azure Active Directory. So we want to kind of put some stuff out there just to differentiate the two. So just as a refresher, DirSync is an identity propagation workload, and so it really does not require ADFS. There are some new capabilities in directory synchronization around password synchronization that provides same sign-on versus single sign-on. But nonetheless, it is the main workload for DirSync that is being used in Office 365 is really as an identity propagation workload to store identity into the cloud. And then on the other side of the equation, once identity has been propagated and provisioned, the cloud now knows that the identity is a valid user or object that would need to be authenticated. So that could be the same Azure Active Directory that does authentication if it knows the password, or it would need to be able to redirect that request for authentication to a relaying third party. So in this case, since this is a Microsoft presentation, we'll talk about Azure. We'll talk about Active Directory Federation Services (ADFS) as the mechanism, which serves as the middle person, middleman, to do the claims-based authentication. And so ADFS works together with domain controllers. So domain controllers are still in the equation, and that really facilitates the authentication process. So that's the main primary difference between DirSync and ADFS. And we'll look at the roles that these workloads play and how they can be deployed together with Azure Active Directory. So having said that, I'm going to turn it over to Mark Gazai. He's the data center specialist, as he's mentioned, and he's going to run through a few of the workloads and examples or scenarios that we have seen most of our customers deploy for one reason or another just to meet their business needs. So I'll let Mark take over, and I'll be back here shortly.
Thank you, Julian. So looking at different scenarios that we have in here, and especially, you know, with our state local government customers, there's always different variables. You could go through one agency or one department or, you know, multiple different agencies trying to collaborate, you know, like looking at a county or central IT models and all that. So we've got to go through a few of these that we've actually worked with some of our state local government customers today. So it's not only you see Office 365 in here, but as you know, the directory behind Office 365 is Azure Active Directory. So this applies to your Office 365 and Azure and anything else that work with Azure Active Directory, in general. So, with this model, the first model that we have in here, it's just a simple configuration of password synchronization using either DirSync. And again, to be clear, DirSync is a light version of Forefront Identity Manager, or what soon to be Microsoft Identity Manager, MIM. So with DirSync, you can simply just synchronize your identities and users within your Azure Active Directory and do a password sync. And that would enable same sign on and, making sure that all the passwords are synced within your on-premises Active Directory and your Azure. Now, going to the next model, that would be having the simplest model, having a central IT, all the identities are all sitting on one Active Directory for us and, within the same agency and within the same, confinement. And now we are adding Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, to the model. As Julian mentioned, ADFS enables, some other opportunities for single sign-on. It would be true single sign-on, and you won't have any passwords going over the wire. We are sending hash with password synchronization, but still, if you need to enable advanced authentication authorization using token-based model, ADFS is what you need to do. And with ADFS, again, it enables some of the other capabilities like web application authentication authorization with other agencies and collaboration of web and or either, some more advanced models and, scenarios. So this is where you add ADFS to the actual, scenario, and then we use their sync or our theme for synchronizing identities and all that within the cloud. Now, next model would be, how about if we add other agencies that they already have their own Active Directory and, they have their domain AD and everything else, and we need to collaborate with those. It could be other departments, it could be other agencies or counties or, anything that works within the state local government, but now we're working as part of the main consolidated one entity within working within one tenant with Azure Active Directory. So one thing that we've done in the past in this model is going through password synchronization, the same thing that we talked about on a simple model, but now we're using Identity Manager, FIM from Microsoft, and synchronizing those identities off of main AD to the central IT and central AD, and basically creating a resource domain. There's a little bit of extra work needs to be done to make sure all the identities are mapped correctly, and there's sometimes it requires a little bit of scripting, and because this has been done several times, Microsoft services and also Microsoft partners, they already have this figured out, and they have templates and everything that can be implemented. Now, when we have those identities coming from other agencies into the central IT or the central resource domain, now you can use the same model using your sync or FIM, sync the passwords and sync those identities into Office 365, and now resources are available. Going to the next step, if there's any need or requirements for single sign-on and ADFS, we follow the same steps that we did in the last slide, and now you can actually add ADFS on top of this architecture design. And this, again, this works. One other thing that we have, and we've seen on the ADFS integration, there are some agencies or some other departments for many different reasons, they might need to have the ADFS come back and authenticate those users against their own domain and domain controls instead of going to the central resource domains or the central IT. And again, that's also possible. So that's one of the other models and architecture designs that we could implement. You can have another extra ADFS server, and those claims, they would get rerouted back into that agency's Active Directory, and the authorization authentication works that way. And we already have all these different architects implemented working with our state local government customers within different states. And again, depends on the needs and how large those projects are. We could recommend any of these architecture designs. So now, one other thing that I was going to mention, actually, we talked about this with Julian, and you know, I'd like to ask Julian about this. So, you know, we have these architectures and everything like these services running on-prem. Why would anyone would run these in Azure, like running a domain control, ADFS server, running all of those as a virtual machine into Azure, you know, infrastructure as a service?
And that's a great question, Mark. And like you pointed out, it is one of the most common questions we get from our customers. So all the architectures that you saw that Mark has presented involve virtual machines and servers that would manage the identity workload or the portion of the identity workload. And it could get fairly complex based on the number of machines that you might deploy. And also, you know, you can combine a lot of those methods. Now, one of the biggest challenges is the fact that we have an SLA for Office 365 and other services, but a lot of these components, if they are, if they handle authentication and they are on premises, there might be insufficient load balancing or fault tolerance or redundancy to provide that identity layer from an authentication perspective. So, for example, when we talk about directory synchronization, there might be some level of tolerance if their sync is not available. If it's not available, new users may not be propagated. Old users that should be removed may not be removed in a timely fashion, but services are not generally interrupted. However, once you take that and extend it to single sign-on, for example, what happens is that if single sign-on relying on a claims broker like ADFS is not available, then the service is not able to receive a valid claims token, so the service will not allow a user to authenticate, and therefore the you know, the service is as good as not being available. So just to give you an example, if let's say a client is in the, on a corporate network and they go to a web server application, and ADFS is one of the claims-based authentication engine. If let's say a client is not logged in but they're on a corporate network, they would be able to get authenticated via ADFS because it is in the cloud, it's in Azure, it's fully redundant. One of the key requirements in this model, as you can see, the middle blue arrow right there is a network layer connection between Azure and your corporate data center. Now, we have it labeled as VPN because that is the lowest common denominator, right? So we have a site-to-site VPN as the network layer that extends your data center into the cloud, so you can have the domain controllers, you can see on the right-hand side there, both on premises and in the cloud, and the read-write domain controller in the cloud would be able to exchange information with the domain controllers on premises. So it's facilitated through the network layer. Site-to-site VPN is one of them. When we talk about identity, though, site-to-site VPN is really more than sufficient because you're only talking about identity and the synchronization identity between domain controllers. But, you know, because the domain controllers and ADFS resides in the cloud, and if you want to put other workloads that are more network intensive, you always have the option to upgrade that VPN connection to something like ExpressRoute or a high-performance gateway that provides you up to 10 gigabits of network throughput if you need to. But in this case, we put VPN there because we think that's really the smallest amount or the lowest common denominator for an identity workload, and that can be easily established. Now, if let's say the user is outside of the network, obviously you can have a model where they authenticate through your gateway to an on-premises domain controller, or in this diagram, it actually shows that user being authenticated through Azure and through the ADFS and through the domain controller that's actually a copy in Azure itself. So two scenarios are covered over here. Once again, you do not have to allow that user through your corporate network if you don't want to, because Azure handles it. But in the event that your network on premises, specifically the domain controller, cannot be contacted, then the user can still be able to access the web server or web application because they are actually being authenticated through Azure. And because your DC and your ADFS are in Azure, the SLA and the redundancy provides you the level of fault tolerance that will minimize, hopefully, the downtime that you might experience otherwise.
Great. Okay, thank you, Julian. So one thing I was going to actually bring up very quickly, again, as you mentioned, today we probably won't be able to go really deep into Microsoft Identity Management like MIM and FIM, but I'd like to highlight a few a few things that we have. First of all, again, Microsoft Identity Manager is the rename of Forefront Identity Manager. It's in preview, the latest version, and coming out soon. One of the exciting announcements that came out a few days ago, April 1st, was the licensing changes. So with MIM, now after April 1st, you won't need a server license for MIM, and that would be included either in EMS licensing that we have. And also, one of the other things that you could do is just if you're implementing Microsoft Identity Manager MIM in on-prem, a Windows Server license would be suffice, and you won't need an extra license for the server. There's still user cows from the user standpoint, but again, the server licenses are gone, and you won't need that as long as the server, Windows Server that's running MIM is licensed properly. So that's the licensing part, and that's very exciting announcement for our customers. The other thing is looking at MIM. Not only you, you can extend your Active Directory within cloud. One of the exciting part of the MIM is synchronization between different identity sources. So again, not only Microsoft, but also other identity sources. Looking at Oracle, SQL databases, DB2s, any databases, even HR applications and SAP and all those. MIM could plug into those identity sources, and you can go bidirectional, and this is fully controllable. You can control those, and you can synchronize identities between those resources. So thinking about user provisioning, user deprovisioning, and automation, creating sets and groups and alerts and triggers and policies, those are all part of Microsoft Identity Manager, and they can be fully deployed on-premises. But again, you also have the option to extend your directory into Azure Active Directory, as Julian was pointing it out. So now, Julian will talk about other applications and SaaS applications and how you can integrate with Windows and enable single sign-on and such with Azure Active Directory. But again, MIM would enable part of that. So now, with MIM, quickly looking at options that we have with MIM, you have role-based access control, certificate management. So if you have a PKI, distributing certificates and managing those certificates and all those, that can be managed with Identity Manager, so MIM capability. Group management, self-service, portal and having that. We have options for password reset. So if you need to deploy that on-prem, MIM would be, one of your options. Or if you can, you want to use Azure Active Directory Premium for self-service password reset and using form factor with multi-factor authentication, that's another option that you have and you can use. So, again, very detailed on identity management and user access control. And then, looking at application management, giving application access on-prem and also outside your premises. So again, if you have an application, you want to enable that application access, you would do that. And if you have an application that's a SaaS application, Julian will talk about that. So that's, again, application access control will be part of those.
Before you go on, please. There is a question about going through some of the licensing changes from Melissa. Could you just go ahead and kind of cover that a little bit based on
Absolutely.
What you know on the licensing side?
Sure. So first of all, if you use FIM today or MIM, if you use that today, you have two options to use FIM. Either just synchronization, so you can actually synchronize different identities. So if you don't use the certificate management, if you don't use the self-service portal and users come in, they create groups, self-service distribution group or security group management, self-password reset. So if you don't have anything with the end users and the end users are not really using it, previously you had to buy a server MIM or FIM server CAL or just a server license. Today, you won't need that. So you, as long as you have a Windows Server that's licensed properly on the Windows Server license itself, the only thing you need is just install and run that for synchronization, just in directory synchronization internally or externally. Now, so if you have users, and those are end users, and using FIM for those enhanced capabilities and other features that FIM or MIM offers, Those users need to be licensed, and we have FIM user CALs. They stay the same. They've been the same. So like RDS, remote desktop services, so with RDS, if a user uses RDS, that user would need an RDS CAL, a client access license. So again, FIM used to have client CALs and server license. Now the server license is gone. It's part of Windows, but you still need the client license. Hopefully I answered it, Melissa.
And Melissa, who your thought as well, because I will also talk a little bit more about the user CAL portion of FIM or MIM licensing later on. So I'll mention that, just kind of keep an ear out. I'll kind of do a shout out to you once I cover that topic.
Great. And one of the other things that I'm actually doing right now, just let me go ahead and share my desktop. I'm going to go ahead and present my desktop. And one thing that we're going to go through quickly, again, if you've done Office 365 and you've been exposed to directory synchronization, we've had DirSync for a long time. There's been changes to DirSync, but now we have a new tool called Azure, Microsoft Azure Active Directory Connect, and we call it AAD Connect. So with Azure Active Directory Connect, this is a great tool that enables you to start that directory synchronization either for Office 365 or in general for Azure Active Directory. Bring your identities off of multiple different domains and then sync those. You get the option to sync passwords. And one of the greatest things I love about this tool is enabling Active Directory Federation services. This has been a challenge for some of our customers or some of the partners. There's always, you know, different scopes and such. But now today with AAD Connect, you can go ahead and enable that as long as you have a server provisioned and ready. This wizard-based tool would enable that process, and it makes your life a lot easier. So let's go through this process and see how it looks like. So I have an Azure Active Directory already provisioned, so I have Azure AD, and I have an Azure AD credentials. So adding those credentials in here, connecting to Azure Active Directory, going through this process for a second, and now we should get the next part. I'm going to go ahead and start a new process. I've done this a couple of times. So you have the option to go through Express settings. Obviously, we always like to see what's going on, so we pick that customization. Julian talked about password synchronization. So if you want to go with same sign-on and password synchronization, we have that option. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pick ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services. It gives you some other options in here. And then there you go. We are exposed to Active Directory. We have the forest. If you have multiple different forests, they're all going to be here and exposed. Now I'm going to go ahead and enter credentials for my domain. We're adding this directory and going next. And the synchronization filtering, we have the option to sync selected forests. If I had multiple different forests, that would be an option. Now we're going to go ahead and just go with the basic all users and devices. For on-premises identities, we have the option to go with all directories or multiple directories. You know, we just need to pick one of those. I'll go ahead and with the base all directories, but you have the option to pick. And then from the identity synchronization, as you probably know, if you've gone through the Office 365, you need to pick a source anchor and a user principal name and all those. So this would give you that option with the source anchor. It depends on your project and how you pick the source anchor. You have that in here. And then the UPNs, if you just pick the UPN or you want to take any other attributes, you can do that too. The next option, we give optional features, and these optional features, if you are in Office 365 and you're picking the hybrid deployment on your exchange, you have the option to take that. Azure Active Directory applications and attribute filtering, this is another option. I love this password write-back. So with the password write-back, if anyone changes their password in cloud, we could do a password write-back. And then even user write-back, that's a preview feature that's coming up pretty soon. in Azure Active Directory. So you create a user in cloud, it will come back and synchronize back also. So again, we have those options. If we do device synchronization or directory extension for any attributes that you already extended in your directory, you have to pick, you know, you can pick those options at the same time. Now, if you already have, an ADFS farm, you can just point to your ADFS farm. I'm assuming you don't. So you're going to go ahead and create a new ADFS farm. The ADFS farm requires a certificate, an SSL cert. So with SSL cert that we have, this is a public key trust cert that I have, and it points to my certificate. Now we're going to go ahead and pick an ADFS server. So basically you just need a server 2008R2 or a server 2012. And we're going to go ahead and pick that server for our ADFS server. Now, if you need, one of the scenarios that Julian and I, we talked about was a user being able to access the ADFS server outside your, you know, corporate or agency domain and, you know, outside the actual premises. With that, you need a application, web application proxy, or if you need to do web application proxy for publishing applications to outside, so with Windows application proxy or Azure web application proxy, you add that in here too at server. We're going to go ahead and add again credentials for proxy trust credentials. Validating that. So you have the option to use a, you know, create a group managed service account that's a feature in server 2012 domain controllers, or pick just a normal domain user account. So we just go with the group managed service account, and we're going to go ahead and connect one last part to Azure Active Directory domain that you already have. And I have cityofcontoso.us, that's my domain. And as you can see, all the text records and all the settings that MX records that need to be modified on your DNS site, they're all in here. Now we're ready to go. And if you want to start the synchronization right off the bat, as soon as we finish this initial configuration, just check this checkbox and go install. That's all you need to do, and we're going to go ahead and just start doing that. With this, I'd like to actually pass that to Julian. Julian, you want to go ahead and let me hand it back to you.
Definitely, let's pull up the slide deck one more time, and then we can go ahead and cover a few things before we jump to the next demo. Just give it a second here. Great. So I hope you guys can see the screen.
Yes.
So we've kind of covered a bunch of topics regarding workloads residing in Azure and why you want to move it into Azure itself, you know, primarily because of this, you know, the SLAs and the redundancy. So one of the key questions we always get, both Mark and I always get, is, you know, how much does it really cost in Azure? So just to give you an example, there is a URL that I have on the slide there, which is the Azure calculator. And it's a good calculator to kind of give you at least a budgetary idea or estimate of what your workload would look like in Azure, any workload for that matter. So this is primarily the infrastructure as a service calculator. There are other things in there, but we're really focusing on infrastructure as a service. And furthermore, we are looking at what if we want to put things like MIM or FIM into the cloud or ThirdSync into Azure itself, what would that typically look like? So what Mark and I did was kind of listed the base level roles that we usually see our customers put in the cloud. And if you hire a partner like Planet or you have MCS come in, it is kind of the general architecture they'll recommend from an identity perspective, which is basically having a directory synchronization server in the cloud, at least one read-write domain controller. The ADFS proxy server is optional, but it's always a good best practice to have a proxy server in front and two servers, ADFS service servers in the back end. So a total of six machines out there, starting at a base level of A2. You plug that into your Azure calculator and edit URL, it'll give you an idea of how much those workloads will cost you on a monthly or yearly basis. And let's get over to the next screen here. This is just a screenshot of that URL. If you get to that URL, click on virtual machines. You can see over there I selected A2, which was the recommended list that Mark had on the previous screen, and it looks like it's about $110.12 a month to kind of run that workload inside of the cloud itself. So that is kind of an idea of what it looks like from a workload perspective. Like I said, once again, a calculator is really designed to help you with budgetary estimate, work with your account executive to kind of come up with what that would really look like in a more accurate sense when you're ready to deploy any workload, not just identity. And the reason is because your account executives and your account teams have a more accurate calculator that will take into consideration specific state and local government workloads and pricing. So work with your account executive, they'll be able to give you pricing, but this is always a good start. Should not deviate too drastically because these are pretty low margin kind of workloads that we're talking about. So having said that, I'm going to segue into a little bit of a teaser to kind of wrap this up a bit. We have looked at MIM and FIM as on-premises component, ADFS as the single sign-on, claims-based broker. What is in the future, looking forward, for Azure Active Directory? Well, Azure Active Directory, which kind of have been the other side of the equation, and FIM and MIM and ADFS being the bridge between the two environments, AD and Azure AD. The view into the future is to really design Azure AD as an identity as a service kind of a model. And so there are a lot of things that's going to come into Azure AD as an identity IDM solution provider in the cloud. So we don't have time to go through all of it, but I'm just going to give you an idea of some of the, at least the top capabilities that we've been talking to our customers about. So let me go ahead and share out my other screen, my second screen here. It should come up in a short while. Let me know when you see the screen. Screen is up?
Yes.
Perfect. So what you see here is actually my Azure Management Portal. And there are a bunch of workloads that I've already put up there for demos, different demo purposes. My ThermoSync server is up there. You can see it at the bottom. I had a Federation server up there. I have my Azure Active Directory up there. I have a domain controller up there. And this is all to facilitate a working model of how a identity solution could look like. So I'm going to click on this vanity domain or a custom forest that I have that's actually synchronized with on-premises domain controller and AD. And you can see there are several things that we can do once that AD on-premises has been reflected into the cloud. One of the biggest things that we talked about earlier on is user management. So if you look at the configure, once the users are there, I can turn on some capabilities to kind of serve as an ID as a service kind of model. And one of them is a user password reset policy, right? I can turn that on for users, and I can allow them to reset their own password securely by going through a validation process. And I have up to four validation methods to choose from: office phone, mobile phone, alternate email. The newest one is security questions. It was previously in preview, but now it is actually in production. So you can see there's the preview. Some of you guys have been looking at it. The preview logo is already gone. It allows you to create any number of security questions, and it allows you to create policies as to how many of those questions a user need to be able to provide in order to securely validate the identity before they can be presented the option to reset their passwords. And there's all these options that you see above here that you can kind of define a policy based on what methods you need to be able to provide them. Now, having said that, you can also daisy chain the methods. So, for example, once a person has identified themselves through a security questions, you might still require them to answer their phone or type in a four-digit numeric number that we will send to their mobile phone. So that's kind of using two of these four methods in a daisy chain fashion that really allows them to have to go through two of those steps to validate the identity before the password reset option is presented to them. So that's an example there. Now, once you have the information provided to the users, obviously you got to gather the information. You can send them to a page, so you can put a link on the intranet page, for example, and they have to go there and do that. Or you can have it in such a way where you would require them to get the information. So down here you can see whenever the information is requested for, you know, you can nag them for the information. And when the password is being reset, you can then do a write back onto your on-premises AD as well. That's the demo that Mark kind of talked about earlier. Here's where you enable the feature to write back. Mark's demo showed the capability to receive the write back. This is where I'm initiating the capability to write back to the on-premises domain controller. Now, let's go very quickly. So these are the self-service. We'll look at the end user experience in a short while. This is the administration side of the house. The other thing that we talked about in ID as a service or IDM in general is really around a single sign-on, same sign-on kind of approach, because that's really the user experience, right? So in this case, one of the key things that you have experienced right now in Office 365 is the ability to do single sign-on through ADFS for Office 365, which is actually a software as a service, a SaaS. So we are extending that capability through AD, through Azure AD to other non-Microsoft third-party SaaS solution, as well as your in-house custom-built applications. So you can see I have several options I can add from the gallery, which are the third-party ones, and then there are also applications that you can add that are developed by your organization. The gallery provides you with up to, as of today, it is, 2,466 applications. A lot of key ones are there right now. I can search, for example, ServiceNow. My California customers, a lot of them are using ServiceNow. So you can see that there is already a pre-federated relationship with this third-party SaaS, and there would be instructions for you if you so choose to consume ServiceNow as a single sign-on capability to ServiceNow. You go through a single one-time step, assign the users access to the application, and away to go. So that is an example right there. Now I have actually added Salesforce as an example right here. We'll go take a look at that real quick. If I double-click on Salesforce, you can see that I want to use single sign-on. If I go through the steps, it actually has the URL that I'll put in, and this is the URL that I would have created because I went through the process of signing up for a Salesforce Enterprise account. And here are the instructions that is specific to Salesforce. So every third-party SaaS will have specific instructions based on their the developer of, or the provider of the third-party SaaS. But in general, the steps are to download a certificate here from Azure and upload this certificate into that third-party SaaS so that it knows, that instance of SaaS knows that it's securely communicating with this instance of Azure AD. I'll click on this right here, and you can see that from the instructions perspective, it's somewhat lengthy, but it's pretty easy. It's not straightforward. It's very straightforward. It is pretty lengthy, but it's very clear from a steps perspective. And just remember, you just have to do it one time. And the general guidance is downloading a cert and then uploading a cert and then basically being able to then have the two SaaS applications talk to each other between the SaaS and the Azure AD. So those are the instructions there. Let me cancel out this since I already configured it. But one of the things I want to show you, which is also key, is the ability to provide an admin account, if you so choose, inside of Azure AD, so that Azure AD can use that account to not only to actually do user provisioning. So not only are your users going to be able to experience single sign-on, your administrators can look at Azure Active Directory as a provisioning engine by using this third-party, in this case, Salesforce admin account. So that way you don't have to create an account manually in this third-party SaaS. So users are provisioned, modified, and deprovisioned directly from your on-premise AD through Azure AD into some of these third-party SaaS applications. So that is just kind of giving you an idea of how the software as a service single sign-on is being configured. Once that's done, you can assign the users access to the application. And the reason why I want to show you this is because, let me go ahead and click on all users. Let's go to the next page here. You can see that I have provisioned a user. I can do this automatically, but I want to show you the manual process of a user being provision. That's me right there. You double click on that. I'm going to update it. Notice that I get a population of all the different Salesforce roles that this user can be provisioned with. So this is actually coming from the Salesforce application itself. And because I had that, admin pass, admin account configured for provisioning, that information is flowed down and I can select it manually in this case, but you can definitely automate it in the process as well. And there are obviously reports that we don't have time to go through because I want to actually close out with the end user experience. So let's say I go over here, open up a new browser, click on that. So this is the end user experience. Once the end user comes in, they're going to go ahead and sign in. So I'm going to sign in with my vanity domain here, and because it knows my vanity domain, it's actually redirecting me, looking up the URL for the ADFS server. This is actually my ADFS server running in Azure. So you can see I can log in as my down-level domain name. I type that in. It gets the claims. It's redirecting me back into what we call this the access portal. And there it is. That is the nagging screen that I was telling you about because I had the information where I said, get the information from the user, the validation information. So the user will verify now and say, well, verify some information that we will require from you so that you can do a self-service password reset later on. So this is the next screen that they will get. I'll cancel out for right now so I can use it for future demos. But once in this access panel where you can have multiple applications, so any application that the user has been assigned to, they'll be able to see it in this access panel right here. I'm going to click on Salesforce because that's what I've provisioned myself as. And you can see that it comes to the Salesforce page where I can type in a username or password, or I can go ahead and choose the Azure single sign-on. And if I do that, it's going to consume the token that it assumes that I already have. Oh, trouble signing me in. Let me go ahead and close out of this. I might have to reclose my window. And go ahead here. Okay. Try it again. Oops. So we could go ahead. Oops, there's a verify. We can go ahead and you guys can see it one more time here. There you go. It's going to redirect me. And I go right into the Salesforce portal without getting a separate prompt altogether. So that is the end user experience for using Azure Active Directory, which is a reflection of your on-premise AD and Active Directory domain federation services and domain services residing in Azure to be able to provide single sign-on experience to your customers. So having said that, let me go back to the screen here. And Mark, go ahead and show the screen. And because you have resources, they can show to everybody, and then we can see if we can take any questions. So I think that's where we are in terms of timing and what we have time for today. There we go. Okay. And I heard a couple of beeps as well, so there must be a bunch of questions. So hopefully Mark and Mike were able to answer while I was rambling on.
Yep, I'm here, Julian.
Thank you.
I was just going through and answering some questions here that we've got.
We've got some
pretty good ones. So a couple things that I just wanted to throw out there real quick and kind of reiterate based on the questions that we're getting. When you set up solutions such as Office 365, CRM Online, any of those where you want true single sign-on, you're going to set up ADFS. Now, the reason why, and Julian mentioned this earlier, and I just want to reiterate it, the reason why you do not want to keep ADFS on premises and why putting it into a cloud provider is a better solution is that if anything were to happen to your data center, whether it's accidental, whether it's a network outage, a power outage, something just minor, hardware outage, or if it's something more catastrophic like a fire, a flood, a natural disaster, if anything happens to that data center and your ADFS servers are not able to respond to requests, your users will not be able to log in to any of the online services, period. That's a huge problem. So for most organizations that are looking to address situations about high availability and DR planning, if you go to solutions like Office 365, where now your email and your documents and all of that are available in the cloud, you now can put your ADFS also in the cloud and connect it to your on-premises environment. And if your on-premises environment goes away, let's just say the data center becomes just a smoking crater for some reason, your users can still log in to Office 365 and still get to email and all of those important communication things. You know, so this is really important for first responders and for other, emergency personnel to be able to have that communication. And if you have this set up this way, you will still have that communication capability. So it's a really, really great solution. So I see there's a couple questions. Is ADFS in Azure included as part of the free Azure AD, or is it a paid add-on?
So and I can cover that.
Go back and cover that if you could, Julian.
Sounds good. No problem. So can ADFS is basically is a virtual machine. So it is not included. But what you do is when we did the Azure calculator earlier on, you'll spin up the ADFS and the domain controller role. So those would be discrete virtual machines that are run in Azure IaaS. So when we went through the calculator, we said an A2 machine, and you saw that $110.12. I mean, that's what it would cost to run the ADFS 24/7 times 365, right, from a cost perspective. So that is what we call a consumption model, and you might hear your account executive call it a monetary commit. You add a certain amount of money, and then when the machines are running, it will draw down that commit, and that's how your virtual machines are being paid for and how it's being propped up and continue running in the cloud. As if you're an Office 365 customer, you already have and are consuming Azure Active Directory. What we showed earlier on from a self-service perspective is what we call Azure Active Directory Premium, and that's a CAL-based model, a user-based model. And so that allows you to have not only the self-service capability to reset the passwords, but also single sign-on to non-Microsoft third-party SaaS. So Office 365 is a Microsoft SaaS, so that's already included. The Azure AD Premium provides the single sign-on for non-Microsoft applications and your in-house apps. That's what the user-based model is, CAL-based model is for Azure Active Directory, if you wish to use Azure Active Directory for the self-service and the single sign-on. And you don't have to purchase it for your entire organization. Although if you have a bulk of those users, then you know then it might be easier for you to manage it that way. But you can go ahead and just purchase the Azure Active Directory Premium licenses for users that you want to provide access to the single sign-on and the self-service. Now you can still do a dir sync of everybody in your organization. You don't have to. There's no limit. Well, there is a 500,000 user limit, and if it's more than that, you can let us know. We'll be able to work with you to kind of increase that number. But there's really technically no limit on the number of user objects you want to sync into Azure Active Directory. It's just the number of licenses you want to turn on for those subset of individuals that you want to provide that capability for. Did that answer your question, Ken? Hopefully it did.
And we've got one other question here. So John asked, so would you recommend running an ADFS farm in Azure for redundancy? So normally what we'd recommend, because of the way that you have to do DNS routing and stuff, I would recommend either on-premises or in Azure. Trying to run it in both is going to be a little more complex, although it could be done. It's going to be a little more complex, and if you have an outage, you would have to manage some DNS entries. So is it possible? Absolutely. You could always set it up in such a way that your on-premises environment is your primary ADFS environment, and then have another one set up or an extension of that set up in Azure. But, you know, really what it comes down to is, some DNS routing issues that you could potentially run into that you're going to have to deal with. So from a simplicity perspective, it's either to set it up as high availability on premises, knowing that you're still at the risk of your network connection dropping, your internet connection dropping, or you could establish it into Azure and then be confident right. that, you know, the Azure data centers will be available to you. And of course, Microsoft has, you know, multiple redundancies in place for all of our data centers. So if anything were to happen, we have, you know, multiple backups in place that would be able to allow your environment to continue to run. So you wouldn't be without you know, authentication into your cloud-based services.
And I mentioned earlier to Melissa about the licensing component. The example that Mark talked about earlier regarding the server license for FIM and the write back. So if let's say there's one scenario, if a user needs to reset his or her password and they reset it in the cloud, the write back feature provides that capability. So if a user is at his or her desk and they want to be able to reset their password, then they'll either have to use a smartphone or they'll be able to go to a URL, reset it in the cloud, and then have that be reset on their on-premises. Now, there's an ability for you to configure domain join machines, and Mike can pull up the technical article for that, so that they can do password reset on-premises as well without going to the cloud. And that actually requires a FIM or MIM server on-premises, as well as the user portal license, right? So the CAL that Mark talked about is required. That is the component licensing side, as well as the server infrastructure to provide the on-premises user self-service password reset. Now, in Azure Active Directory Premium, the user CAL that Mark mentioned is still required. That is also covered for on-premises users that need to go to on-premises FIM MIM server to reset a password on-premises. So that is one other licensing nuance that is going to good to have in your back pocket.
Excellent. So we've got about 5 more minutes. If anybody has any additional questions that we'd like to cover.
And again, one of the other things I just want to add while, you know, we're waiting for those questions to come in, you know, a lot of our customers, they have multiple different third-party SaaS applications. They're all running over the place. So one of the things is we could actually run a tool that does the discovery of all those different SaaS applications. And through this process of adding those into Azure Active Directory, enabling application access, you can consolidate this whole, you know, efforts of giving people access. As Julian showed, you know, those applications could be published into users' application portals. They can get access to those applications that at the same time, single sign-on or same sign-on could be enabled with those applications. So they don't need to use like a Twitter account or, you know, any other accounts, Workday, or we have over 2,500 different applications that are already integrated with Azure Active Directory, and they're growing. So, you know, again, you definitely can give access to users and manage, maintain that access from a central, you know, IT standpoint or from the IT in general. So, again, just want to make sure that everyone understands that.
And Mark, you bring up a good point. There are other features that we did not bring up today that are included in Azure Active Directory Premium. So that's something that you'd probably want to talk to your account teams about to get a better understanding of what you get. So when you purchase Office 365, you get an Azure Active Directory free account. We also have this Azure Active Directory Premium, which adds a lot of additional capabilities from security reporting, the self-service password reset, self-service group management, multi-factor authentication capabilities. So we have a lot of additional capabilities that are built into this solution that are really, really helpful to help to kind of get a hold of this identity management issue that a lot of organizations have and to kind of bring it all together. So if I were you, I would highly recommend, if you're interested in identity management, to get a hold of your Microsoft account team and ask for a deeper dive conversation, demonstrations about these different technologies that we've got. Like I said, we're just scratching the surface here with the Microsoft Azure Active Directory products.
Yep, and Mike, to your point, just shout out to my buddy William Wong in Hawaii, and is his question. There are discussions around what you're talking about, William, in terms of ADFS and SaaS, as a SaaS, and also, you know, the roadmap for Azure Active Directory and being able to, together with Windows 10, be able to not only have user objects, but also machine accounts as well. So that's all part of the roadmap. Under NDA, we can come out and kind of give you a little bit more of a briefing around what's on our roadmap as well.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Julian, is that we do have NDA roadmap decks. So if you've signed a non-disclosure agreement your organization has with Microsoft, we can share those. Once again, get with your account team. They'd be more than happy to help out. With that, we're pretty much pushing right up onto our time. So I would like to thank everybody for coming out today and spending time with us, with Julian and Mark and myself, for this single sign-on with Microsoft Azure presentation.